is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Here's where I think we are with the new collective bargaining agreement on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. The league owners have approved a new collective bargaining agreement. Then after the league owners have got the collective bargaining agreement, they send it over to the players, and the player council liked it or negotiated it, but the actual players who are not part of the player council don't like it, and so now they've got to figure it out, and there's going to be more negotiating. But in a nutshell, I think that's probably the best way to explain it, right?
Well, what happened, they sent it to the representatives of the Players Association, and I think they declined to vote on it and instead called in another council. They're like most, organizations like that. They've got committee after committee after committee. So they're calling in more committees to discuss this, I'm sure, because they have no clue about a bunch of it. And then they'll vote after that, supposedly.
So there's a lot of new things in here, and the NFL put out a fact sheet, a full term sheet of what's in the new agreement. And I don't completely read what's on the fact sheet. I mean, if I was a player and I cared about this kind of stuff, I'd want to actually see the agreement. Like, I'd want to know what's actually in there or whatever. But, there's all these things in here, like raises the practice squad player price to $10,500 a week. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think average fans actually care about that. So I want to touch on the things that fans actually do care about. That is A, the 17th game, and B, the seventh team in the playoffs. What do you think about those two things? 17 games, one neutral site game, 8 at home, 8 on the road, and the seventh team making the playoff.
Well, the 17 games, I mean, I'm not sure I've ever been fond of, but if that's, the way it's going to go, then
why?
That's the way it'll go. It's going to get to a point where you're getting diminishing returns, depending on what you do with IR and things like that. I mean, you get to a point where the teams, even the teams that are playing well, that last week or two, they're probably not, playing well.
Nobody cares about that. They just want the games to be close.
Well, yeah, but I mean, depending on who you play and all that, may not be close. That's my point.
I know, but the quality of football now compared to what it was 10 years ago, it's not even the same. I mean, it's not even the same sport anymore. But we still watch it. We still like it. We still care about it.
Oh, and I'm sure that I'm not worried about the fans. I'm worried about the players.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it from a fan standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. The fans will, I agree with you. Fans, as many games you play, there'll be somebody watching them.
I mean, you don't want it to turn into basketball or those sports where, like, games just don't matter.
I worry about the players. And if the players get to a point, where they're saving themselves, if you will, because they know they can't play 17 games, full. And I'm not saying that will happen. I'm just, those are the kind of things that worry me.
I think that is so ridiculous. I do. Like, it's one game. It's one extra game. The New
England
Patriots.
Do you know how they liken? Do you know how a player once described?
But the New England Patriots play three extra games every year.
A guy once described playing a game as putting your uniform on, closing your garage door, back up 15 yards, 10 yards, and run and slam yourself into that garage door 60 times.
And I was in the Titans locker room in Kansas City where grown men were in tears because they didn't get to do that one more time.
Your point?
My point is it's one extra game. Like, you're telling me the Steelers couldn't have played one extra game last year? God forbid we play one extra game. You're all trying to play extra games. All you're trying to do is like, oh my God, 17 games. The Patriots play 19 games a year.
I can tell you're a basketball guy.
Just because. Because
you could run up and down that basketball court as many times as you want.
Well, now
you
the
can't,
basketball
let me say this. You cannot. There is. Your body can only take so much now. I don't care who you are. Now, I know you don't know this, but I mean, when you go out there and you start getting banged around like that, you can only take so much. And then stuff starts breaking. And when that stuff breaks, then you know, you're in trouble.
Okay, but things break in week three, too. Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, we play all these games, so now we got... And I get that. I hear you. But who cares? So the Baker Mayfield will never play 17 games in his life as long as he's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, unless they change it to 17 games. He's never going to go to the playoffs. Tom Brady plays 19 games a year.
Right.
And I don't hear Tom complaining that he plays all these games.
Well, once you get into playoffs, it doesn't matter. I mean, when you get into playoffs, all the rules change.
Right, everybody wants to play.
We're talking about regular season.
I'm just saying it's not that big of a deal. it's a one game. I think the players, the NFL's not serious about player safety if they're going to go to 17 games. What gave you the idea that the NFL did care about player safety? They got games on Thursday night. You can't be ready to play a game on Thursday night. The NFL never cared about player safety. It's all about money. And I am for the 17th game. The only argument I can have against the 17th game is if it waters down the product too much to have too many games, and then it's like basketball or baseball, and it's just, you know, so what? We lost Indianapolis today. Move on. And I don't ever want football to be that way. That would be the only problem with a 17th game. But, like, who cares if the Jets have to play 17 games? The Titans played, what, 19 games last year. I don't hear them complaining about it.
Okay.
What do you think of the seventh team in the playoffs? Got a problem with that?
No.
Do you have a problem with the only one team getting a bye?
No. It's all you can do.
Well, but, I mean, if your options were to keep it the way it is or add the seventh team and take away the bye.
Oh, I'd keep it the way it is.
Why?
Because I don't want to add any more teams to the playoffs.
You think it waters it down?
It will get to a point, it does, if you continue. And once you get started down this track, then it always continues. And that's why I don't want to expand the college playoffs. That's why I don't want to do, because you think, well,
because you don't want to turn it
we'll
into
just go to six. Well, no, let's 8 and then 12 and then pretty soon you're basketball. And I don't want to get to the point. I mean, the making the playoffs in the NFL is a big deal because, you know, only a third of the, I mean, all the other sports, half the teams make it. So you got to be a
baseball, like only a handful make.
You
got
to be a crappy half to not make it, you know, not make the playoffs. So I don't want to become that. I want it to be, you know, the elite makes the playoffs.
If you promise me that it stays at 7, then I'm okay with it. Now, if you open it up to 8, I'm out. Like, no way do I want 8 teams. That would literally be half the league would make the playoffs if they went to 8 teams. So I have no interest in 8. Do you want to know why I like the seventh team, though? It's not about the seventh team that gets in. It's about what it does to the second team. And that is that it really makes that number one spot in your conference worth it. I mean, you really have a decided advantage if you're the number one team in the conference. And I use Kansas City as the point right here. They would have played the Steelers in wild card weekend and would have housed them. Like, would have beaten the Steelers 35-3. If they had played in that, you know, AFC wild card weekend, 7-2 game that first weekend. But they would have had to at least play. And you could tell the Titans were much more tired than Kansas City was in that AFC championship game. But instead, because the Titans beat Baltimore, Kansas City basically lived life like a number one seed. But they weren't the number one seed, and they didn't deserve to be treated like a number one seed. So I like the fact that now that number one seed really holds weight. That it really, really matters to be the number one seed if we expand that. And that's why I like the seventh team. It really has nothing to do with the seventh team. I mean, sure, every now and then we'll get a team that finishes seventh, go on the road, and they'll win a playoff game. And that's great. I'm not sure I care too much about that, but it's what it takes away from the second team that I like. And it really makes being the number one seed worth something.
Well, it certainly does that. I mean, the number one seed's the only one that gets the bye. They're going to be people would be fighting for that.
I mean, everybody wants the one seed, but really the goal is a bye. You know, really the top goal is to be one of the top two seeds. Well, now it's eliminated that. And the goal now should be to be the top team in your conference. And that I love. So I like the seventh team in there. Now, if you tell me that we're doing this and in 5 years we're going to eight, I'm out. I have no interest in eight teams making the NFL playoffs. But the seventh team, love it. So we got loaded phones, 615-737-1025, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're right back to them next, 615-737-1025. And add the CBA to the topics of what we're talking about. Are you for or against the 17th game? Are you okay with the seventh team in the playoffs? And I love the seventh team in the playoffs. I love it. What do you think of these neutral site 17th games, by the way? Where every team gets eight home, eight road, and then a neutral site game for the 17th game.
I worry till I see it worked out.
What do you mean?
I mean, there are going to be times where you're going to be stuck, you know, coming back from a bad wherever you've been, depending on where they play the games. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, if you've got a choice, if you're Houston and your away game is Mexico City, that's nothing. But if you're Houston, your away game is Scotland, then that's a ways away. So I don't know.
I'm thinking more like if you're Houston, your neutral site game may be in Austin. Like that you would have Cowboys, Texans in Austin, and you play it at Texas's field. Like that would be cool.
Yeah, I don't think they're talking about that, though. They're talking about international.
I think there's going to be obviously an international component to it.
They're trying to spread the game internationally.
What I wonder is who is the 17th game against? Like, is it another AFC team or is it an NFC team? I think that would be cool, too, to play an NFC team. So not only rotate the NFC division you play, but then everybody matches up. So if you were the number one team with another NFC division, so let's just use the Titans will play the NFC North next year. So let's say that their rotating opponent is the East. So the Titans finish second in their division. The Dallas Cowboys finish second. So instead of waiting 8 years for a Cowboy-Titans home game, you get Cowboys-Titans next year. And that's your 17th game.
Which I would have no problem with.
How do you think the league will do it?
I have no clue.
All right, to your phones next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, Fireball Hot Take Friday, Fireball Cinema Whiskey, Mardi Gras coming up, and of course, the big fight, got tons of hockey, got tons of stuff going on. You got to have the friends over for the party, and you got to have Fireball at the party. Everybody knows how much I love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It is a staple. Downtown on Broadway, you go to any bar, they got Fireball ads up, they got Fireball posters up, they got Fireball everywhere. Why? Because Fireball is so dang good. If you're going to drink whiskey, drink Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
J.J. Watt tweeted, hard no on that proposed CBA. The Packers' David Bakhtiari. Very critical of it, talking about the split amongst all of the owners, and says, is this equation supposed to make sense? Not to mention the 0.5% only happens if we agree to an extra game a season. Hashtag know your worth. And then Richard Sherman retweeted his agreement with Darren Revelle's tweet, and I'm going to read you what Revelle posted. He said, I've been covering sports labor for 20 years. This deal the NFL owners are putting forth might be the worst deal, with the exception of the deal the NHL players accepted in 2005 after a year off. There's no way the NFLPA says yes to this.
That was this morning on Get Up on Greenberg, saying the players are not going to accept this deal. And I have no idea what's in the deal. Like, I mean, we've got the whole term sheet or whatever in there. I personally do not care about, like, you know, HRA increased to $35,000 thereafter up to $50,000 per season, with an overall limit increasing from $350,000 to $450,000. Why do I care?
You don't care about it.
No, I don't. Now, look, that mattered to you now. Like, I know that matters to you. And when you had, you know, you've got a coaching pension and a, what is it, executive pension? I mean, so those things matter. Like when you are, when you're in there and you're getting the paychecks from that, those things matter.
Sure.
They don't matter to Johnny Joe watching the game on his couch. And I am Johnny Joe. Fireball Hot Take Friday, right to your phones as promised. Nate on the CBA, go.
Hey guys. I had the question for Floyd about the 17 games. Teron, that, I don't know if y'all talked about this earlier, but I just jumped on about 30 minutes ago. I don't know if Teron Davenport, if y'all heard what Teron Davenport said about the players only getting paid for 16 right now. Floyd, how, what would the GM have to do if they turned it into a 17 game season? Because that would obviously change contracts.
Yeah, I think that'll be part of the CBA where they'll actually, in fact, right now, the way it's set up is you will get a 17th game check up to $250,000, which is laughable for all these guys complaining. You know, the Shermans and guys like that, they probably make, you know, I don't know, five, six times that on a weekly basis. So for them to play an extra game and take a cut in pay is truly ridiculous. And what they need to do is they just need to say, okay, you know, as an addendum to the CBA is that we're going to have a 17th game check that the players would get. Now, I've seen, I saw in there they also are talking about changing up the payment schedule for players, which is unique, which I think what's happening now is these guys are getting so much money so fast that they're not managing it well. So what they're doing is they're kind of spreading out the payment period to, or you can if you want, to 35 weeks, you know, so now you're going to get a paycheck through most of the year, which probably makes more sense.
So I just don't understand why if we're going to play 17 games and I've got an existing contract, it doesn't just proportionalize, right? Like, if it's $1 million a season for 16 games, then why am I not making, like, 1.1, so whatever it would come out to be,
right?
That would be, you know, 110% of what I'm already making.
Yeah, like, if your weekly check is $100,000 and you're playing an extra game, then you ought to get another $100,000. And I think that's what they're saying. But not, but they're capping at $250,000. And
that's nuts. It, like, if you take a quarterback... Like, what do you think Matt Ryan makes like $2 million a game.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell Matt Ryan, like, you're going to play an extra game, but you're going to get 1/8 of what you usually bring in?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's silly.
Like, I don't even know why you'd show up that week. So I understand, like, that's not going to fly. Texter to the text line says, the average career length for an NFL player career is what, 2 to 4 years? So the average player, if they play 17 games, would have played an extra 2 to 4 games their entire career. To your point, Jared, I'm willing to bet that a lot of players would have died for the chance to play an extra 2 to 4 games. I just don't think that one extra game per season is the end of the world. And these players and you act like playing 17 games is just unfair. I mean, like, 16, yeah. 17, whoa, that's a big, oh, 17. Oh, 17 now, that is, ooh, I don't know. I worry that now all these players are going to get CTE because they have to play one extra game that everybody is fighting their rear ends off the entire season to play extra games.
Okay.
I don't understand this.
I'm not even arguing this point
with it. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm arguing with Sal. I don't want to. I'm not even.
But
going
what there. You're arguing and what the players are arguing, like, I think the players are just doing this for leverage. Like, I don't think the players give a damn about player safety. I think they're throwing their hands up, just like, hey, player safety. We, you know, let's talk about this because they need that at the negotiating table. But I think if you were to tell every player, now again, not if you're going to give Matt Ryan an extra $250,000, like, you have to pay Matt Ryan for an extra game, but if you were to tell the players, you'll get a pay increase, that'll be a 17th game check, I bet the players would totally do it.
I don't know. You could be right.
I mean, aren't the playoff bonuses, like, to play those playoff games, aren't they less than what their usual salary is?
For most guys.
Okay, so if these guys are so willing to play a playoff game for less money, why would they not be willing to play an extra game for the same?
Because it's the playoffs. It's the playoffs. It's not the same. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can't, I don't know why you don't understand that. I mean, the playoffs, you would play the playoffs for, well, they all do, for less money than what they make normally. You don't hear them griping about it.
No.
Well, you're playing a 17th game for 200, and you're already hearing griping about it.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that you're going to cap the money at 250 grand when Aaron Rodgers is bringing home $4 million a game.
Right. Like that, but that same Aaron Rodgers is going to play a playoff game for $25,000 instead of $4 million. Now, how do you rationalize that?
Do you think they play that game for the glory, or do you think they play that
it's
game?
It's the playoffs.
Or do you think they play that game because if you ball out in the playoffs, then it just sets you up for your next deal or whatever?
No, it's the playoffs. In the playoffs, they would probably play for nothing, you know? That's stretching it, but
Tim's up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, very quick. If the entire objective is to get into the playoffs and we extend the playoffs and extend the regular season to where more teams can get in, why is it not a good idea? One, and then this just hit me too. You think people, and for example, maybe Dak Prescott might be a good one because he's about to have a contract year. You think he'll hold out on his contract until all of this is settled to say, well, hey, I'm re-signing a contract for 17 games, not 16, and maybe get him a couple million more dollars a year, whatever that looks like. And thank you.
Thank you for your call. How do you think this plays into free agency right now?
The new CBA?
Yes.
I would say it doesn't right now.
Well, if I'm Dak and I know that they may sign a new CBA next week that's going to be 17 games, don't I wait to sign? Hold off?
Well, again, they'll have provisions in there. They'll say, okay, you know, you'll make another game check, for example, whatever you've made for all the other games, you'll get paid that again.
Texter says, couldn't the extra game get that team into the playoffs that Floyd loves so much? I mean, yeah, but it's different when it's a playoff game compared to a 17th neutral site game in Austin between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. Like, that just isn't going to move. I mean, for the players, that's not going to internally move their needle.
I would say not. And I'm not sure how many people would show.
In Austin, Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine like a Titans? I'm trying to think like what would be a good neutral site Titans game. But
I think they want those international.
Like, what about Titans Panthers in Knoxville? Then you would literally have, like, I think Knoxville's, like, probably equidistant from both Charlotte and Nashville, right?
I have no idea.
I mean, then you'd have a half-and-half crowd. Like, I think they would love that. I am with you, though. I think they're just going to stick them all in London. And then they're going to sell that package to ABC, and we'll wake up to a 9:30 game every Sunday.
Well, I think they'll probably, you know, they'll have a handful in London, and they'll have a handful in Mexico, and they'll have, you know, another one, I don't know. I'm in Germany. They've had them in Germany. They've had them
will the NFL go to China?
Where else? I don't know, that's too far. Plus, they're sick over there, so we don't.
No coronavirus. Jonathan's up next. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, sorry. Hey, guys. GM just made me actually puke because of the kind of joke.
Jonathan, give me your take.
All right, come on. Give me a break here. All right, so playoffs. I heard you say playoffs. I heard GM say playoffs. And so I just called in. I was like, playoffs? Playoffs? Talking about playoffs?
Okay. I did not have that. Did not. That I couldn't do. It's too late in the week. It's too late in the week for me to do a guy who's going to sit there and just play, waste everybody's time. I heard GM talking playoffs, and I just thought about Jim Mora's rant playoffs. I just cannot. On a Friday afternoon, cannot waste everybody's time.
Okay. We're good.
What? You were going to sit there and humor that?
No. I mean, I didn't even hear
it. I mean, I do think, I do feel like we need to have, like, standards for calls on this show.
We do. It's called in.
No. Like, we have to have, like,
he's
the standards.
Standard.
That it's like when, It's like, I don't know how to feel like when a kid calls the radio show, right? Like, should we take that call? And I lean towards no. Only because I feel like there should be like a minimum age to call this show. Like,
we're not serving alcohol.
Like PG-13. You know, like something like that. And I'm not, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe someone will tell me, like, no, take the 7-year-old's call and be really nice to him, even if he makes a terrible point, which you wouldn't do for another caller, but I am.
Well, I mean, I doubt a 7-year-old is going to come in and make a very poignant point.
I bet you a lot of 7-year-olds could probably make better points than some of the calls we take now, which would then shoot down my notion of not taking calls from 7-year-olds.
There you go.
But it is what it is. Kenny. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hey, guys. Long time, first time.
Cool.
Thank you.
Got a question for Floyd. Yes, I've never even wondered this until today when you started talking about the 17th game. How much money do teams make home game versus away game? You know, the Titans go play in another city. How much money do they make from the ticket sales for that game? And then kind of put that into perspective for a neutral site game. I never asked the question.
Yep,
never wondered about it.
Thanks, Kenny.
Generally speaking, what they do, the league has a formula worked out, and the visiting team will come in and get a split. They'll get like, I'm going to just use 35%. Home team will get the rest. Any premium seating boxes, upper echelon seating in the stadium goes to the home team. And literally everything else in the stadium is split between the teams. And so, you know, that's why it's always more important for teams in the playoffs, for example, to get the, of course, the money's different there, but to get the home games, because it is, you're talking about a pretty good chunk of money. It may be the split may be 60-40. I'm not sure, to be honest, but they split the tickets, they split, you know, the whole thing except for premium seating and suites, etc.
Ryan Ellis has returned to the Predators. He's off the IR according to Adam Dingen, so he'll be back in the lineup tonight against Chicago. Coming up next, though, does that little item dissuade Floyd from doing what he would do at the trade deadline? We'll discuss, Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on the Game Nashville app.
Be honest, it's a hockey play. I'm not bitter at him. Like, obviously, I'd like to catch him with a nice open, nice hit, but as I would anyone on any other team. But it's a hockey play. I get where he was at. I get what he's thinking, and looks bad. And the one I did to the kid in New York obviously looked bad, and I feel like I don't hit a lot, and I definitely don't hit dirty. So, I mean, maybe a different player, different thing, but I'm not bitter. Just it sucks not playing.
Ryan Ellis will be making his return to the lineup tonight for the Predators Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM. So, Floyd, I don't think there's a player out there better than Ryan Ellis the Predators could get at the trade deadline. I think everybody would agree with that. But if you were going to buy at the trade deadline, are you still going to buy now that you have Ryan Ellis back? If you were going to sell at the deadline, are you still going to sell even though you get Ryan Ellis back? How does adding Ryan Ellis to this team affect perhaps Monday's trade deadline plans?
Well, for me, it would help me from the standpoint because, I'm going to guess – we make a deal just about every deadline. So I'm expecting there was going to be a deal. I thought it would be for a defenseman, you know, a down-the-line kind of guy. And for you to have Ellis come back, I mean, that's, you know, you wouldn't be able to find one out there that you would afford that you could bring in that would be better than him. So that helps me. Now, does that mean you're not still looking for another one? I don't know. Maybe they are.
So I have a theory. I have what I think's going to happen on Monday, and we won't be back on the air, I think, until after the deadline or right at the deadline on Monday. I have what I think's going to happen, and I have what I want to have happen. Which one do you want to hear first?
Either one. Spill them.
Pick one.
What do you think's going to happen?
I think they trade Granlund and they keep Smith.
What do you want to have happen?
Trade Granlund, trade Smith, trade, even if you get a great offer for Bonino, trade him. Trade Grimaldi, trade all the guys that don't, that you can get anything for that don't have a contract after this year. Unless you just get, unless everything they offer you is just silly, like a, you know, a fifth round pick from Mikhail Granlund, then don't do it. But if you get offered some money, like you take or get off, not money, you get offered some picks or some prospects or some players, get the picks, get the prospects, get the players with term, because I think that the future is much more important about worrying than the rest of the season. And I would not let these two games over the weekend dissuade me, because they play, obviously they play tonight and they play on Saturday. So if they win both games, every fan will say something along the lines of, see, Jared, go for it, go for it, go for it. And I don't think two games against Chicago and Columbus are going to be what makes me decide that this team is something that I don't think they are right now, which is I think they're a team that can contend for the playoffs. And if they get into the playoffs, like the first round could theoretically be interesting, maybe, but I think you're probably out in five or six games. So to me, I would say, you know, your core pieces are good enough to at least compete. And you need a total reset in terms of mindset and everything else, which will come in the offseason. So you take what you can get now in terms of future assets. You add those things up as either trade chips or you draft players with them to put in your farm system that maybe go through Milwaukee and become real players here. And you really do all of that this year, knowing that, hey, you're still going to try to win and you're still going to try to make the playoffs. And if you make the playoffs, good, and anything after that's gravy. But really thinking about trying to kind of re-energize and reopen the window for after this year.
Well, if you trade Granlund and Smith and who was the other one you mentioned?
Grimaldi.
Grimaldi? I mean, you're done.
Are you?
Yes, you are. What do you, I mean, who's left? You know, what are you going to, I mean, I don't think you can, you know, you may, if you're going to do that, then you may as well go all, you know, all hog. Everything.
Well, I mean, you're not going to sell, like, you're not going to trade guys that have term at, like, long-term contracts. That's different than trading a guy who you don't get anything for at the end of this season.
Well, yeah.
So, like, I mean, think you can win a cup, like, let's use Matt Duchene as an example. If you think you can win a cup with a team with Matt Duchene on it, you keep Matt Duchene. But if you don't think that, like, if you don't think this year this team's going to win the cup, which I don't think this team is going to win the cup this year, then right. I trade Craig Smith because I don't get anything for Craig Smith if I let Craig Smith walk at the end of the year. I mean, I'll still get seven more shots or
well,
six more shots with
Duchene.
You might
be able to sign Craig Smith, though.
Yeah, but you can sign him the same if he's on your team or on somebody else's team at the end of the year.
Well, right. But, I mean, you might make the playoffs with him and then sign him.
But are the playoffs that important?
Well, I don't know. I'm listening to the hockey guys. I mean, I know in football it is, but listen, the hockey guys, it sounds like he's pretty important to them. I mean, making the playoffs is a pretty big deal.
Do you think this team will make the playoffs? As constructed right now, they haven't been in the playoff picture since November, but they've got all the games in hand, so yeah, it's one way or another. But do you think, just your gut feeling, yes or no, do you think this team will make the playoffs?
No, I think they will. Gut feeling.
Do you?
Yeah. No, it's going to be by the hair of their chinny chin chin. But, I mean, I don't, you know, you got the same people. I got to believe at some point in time, all these guys that you know are quality players are going to see the finish line, see the playoffs, and see it all out there and, you know, crank it. Get going.
God, that is such a hope, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a real hope. That's like I heard was Willie said the other day, Forsberg's going to score 30 goals this year. I'm like, the guy had two breakaways the other night. He cannot hit water if he was standing on a boat right now. The way he's in one of those slumps. And I'm just, 30 goals, that is a tall task now. Like, that's not going to be easy. I mean, I think it's 50-50 as to whether or not they make the playoffs. Like, are they going to get out of a round if they do make the playoffs?
Well, no, I don't know about that.
You know, so then what's the point of keeping Mikhail Granlund? Now, to your point about Smith, I think Smith wants to be here, and I think you can sign Smith to an extension. I mean, I don't really see the need to keep Craig Smith, if I'm being completely honest with you, because his prime is probably, you know, a couple years behind him, and you've got Ellie Tolvanen in the minor league system who, if nothing else, should at least be able to replace Craig Smith. So I don't see the need for Craig Smith in the future. And if I can get picks and players back now, I say do it. But if you keep Craig Smith, then you probably have a chance to re-sign him. If you trade Craig Smith, you could still re-sign him on July 1, but would Craig be upset at you because you let him go around the trade deadline? Sure. Or maybe he enjoys where he was there, or somebody else offers him a puttload of money and then he goes. So that's all part of it, probably. I don't think the organization would like the idea of selling off everybody worth selling and then trying to still sell tickets for the rest of the season. Like, what's the message send to the fans if
all those guys? I mean, the message will be clear.
So that's why I think they keep Smith, but they trade Granlund, because they know they're not getting anything for Granlund. Granlund is probably, they're not getting anything at the end of the year. Like, Granlund's not coming back. They're not going to sign Granlund to a contract extension. So they know he's not coming back, and he is considered by the hockey people to be worth more of a return than Smith would be.
What about the other guy? Who is
Grimaldi?
The other guy? Grimaldi.
I'm not sure the league really cares about Grimaldi.
Well, I don't know if they do either, but I'm talking about the fans. I mean, the fans are going to look at that and say, oh, you know, that's it.
I mean, we have fans in this town who don't love Ryan Tannehill, and look at what he did. So it's, you know, like, do you think you'll sell more tickets if you keep your guys?
I think you sell more tickets if you keep the guys in the middle of the playoff.
You think you'll sell less tickets
if you trade just Granlund,
but you keep Smith and you keep Grimaldi and you keep Bonino and you keep all those other guys, but you just trade Granlund? Do you think that because the message isn't as loud, that the fans don't see that as a deterrent?
I mean, I think it would depend largely on how you're playing. I mean, you got to play a heck of a lot better than you have been.
Well, you can still win without Granlund and Smith. I mean, we didn't come into the season thinking that Mikhail Granlund and Craig Smith were going to be the defining factors of this
team. But right now they are. So that's the thing I'm saying. And I think everybody would recognize them as that. You know, like it or not, that's kind of where they are.
I'd sell it all. I mean, like, I'm keeping the guys with term. And, like, a lot of people want to trade Johansson. I wait until the offseason. I do think that's on the table for David when they get to the offseason. But I wait till the offseason to do those, like, big, totally roster-defining trades. That, to me, is an offseason thing. But I do believe that I would sell the guys that I know I'm not going to get anything back for at the end of the year. That I know I'm not, like, Craig Smith right now, if Tyler Toffoli is worth a high prospect, a second-round pick, and a fourth-line guy, Craig Smith's probably right around there, maybe a tiny little bit less. I get that return because I don't think that you get anything from Smith after this year. So I take the return, even though it would hurt in the short term and would be a tough message both to your fans and to your locker room, would be a tough short-term message. I think it's in the best long-term interest of the team to do that. So that's why I would do it. And I wouldn't let these two games dissuade me from that.
Well, I wouldn't. The games don't matter to me.
I mean, if you win them, though, you're probably right back into the playoff.
Yeah, but it still doesn't matter. Because it doesn't. We've seen that. You know, we got to see. Show
what
me
do you
the
mean?
Oath. I mean, we've been back and forth about three times at that. So we either need to get there or not.
So you're out of a playoff spot by 3 points. You trail Calgary by 3 points, and you've got two games in hand. So all your games in hand that you loved so much have kind of gone out the wayside, although you have 5 games in hand on Arizona, who's the one team ahead of you. Like, does Arizona just not play in the month of, like, March?
I mean, I'm shocked, but I'm shocked that, you know, like this week, you got an extra little bit of time off when you're thinking you've got games to make up. They'd figure out a way to get you playing.
Predators game day coming up next. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you about my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Did you know that Hiller, they are proud supporters of the Nashville Predators? That's right. You watch a Preds game, it's right there on that ice, that Happy Hiller logo. They also have the Happy Hiller cam that goes on throughout the arena. Did you also know that Hiller can fix your HVAC unit or replace your faulty unit? And if you do get a new HVAC unit from my friends at Hiller, you want to make sure to get that done before the end of the month. Why? Because due to an overwhelming response, Hiller extended their HVAC promotion through the end of the month. So from now until the 29th, when you buy a new HVAC unit, Hiller will pay your heating bills all year long, and that's up to a $1,200 value. That's right, $1,200. Don't wait. It's so simple to schedule any kind of appointment with Hiller. You go right on your phone, happyhiller.com. Just click it right there. Get right to it. Happy Hiller. Schedule the appointment. Your technician will be out there. It's simple. I use Hiller at my home, and you'll love it too. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Jared and the GM. Predators game day's next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
From the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes and Chino's East. What are John Hines' keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators game day is presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Your road to Nashville area real estate begins with my friends, TJ Anderson. Well, my friend TJ Anderson and TJ Anderson Homes. .com and Geno's East. Get a historic slice of Chicago deep dish tradition before or after the game. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd and Korean Vets. Info at genoseast.com/Nashville. Tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks host the Nashville Predators. The Predators 29-23-7, 65 points. The Blackhawks 26-26-8, good for 60 points. Usually, we have the coach's take, which is presented by TJ Anderson Holmes, but apparently, John Hines has not talked yet with the media as they get set to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. So we don't have that. I could make up a quote, but instead I'll just go ahead and tell you the important stuff out there, the important news, which is that Ryan Ellis will return to the lineup tonight for the Predators after he suffered that hit against Corey Perry on New Year's Day. And Nick Bonino is out with an illness. Pecorine will take over in net. The Predators will have two games before the trade deadline, which occurs on Monday, so it'll be the front end of the back-to-back tonight, and then the back-to-back tomorrow wraps up against Columbus. David Poile was on the midday show earlier in the week, and David Poile was asked about the trade deadline, and this is what David Poile said.
As far as the trading deadline, busy time for every general manager. Everybody's talking, regardless of whether they're in first place or last place. I think it would be, I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't talking to everybody, and you're always got to be open-minded. You just never know what might come your way that might turn something. It might be like a dominoes where there's been a couple of trades in the last couple of days where somebody does something now that opens up something that wasn't there before. So I don't want to, you know, fully answer that question. I just want to operate on a day-to-day basis and call people, take calls, and see where we end up a week Monday.
So if David Poile's telling the truth there and he's just operating strictly on a day-to-day basis, what do you think how much weight do you think he puts into these two games?
For me, I wouldn't think it would be much.
You think that that's just lip service when he says, we're taking it day-to-day to see where it...
Well, no, but I mean, I think it's, you know, it's small, the effect that winning or losing these games is going to have on him. You know, that may all of a sudden tip him on a guy, you know, say, Granlin, what do you want to do? Well, he goes out here in these two games and scores four goals. They're going, oh, man, we just can't get rid of that guy, you know, or doesn't score any, plays poorly. He goes, yeah, we go ahead and make the move, you know, those kinds of things. But I'm not sure anything dramatic.
So I would go back to Toffoli having a hat trick last weekend and then immediately getting traded. I wonder if, you know, Smith had a hat trick last week. Can these guys that maybe the trade deadline chips, can they boost their stock? Or if the team goes out there and dominates, just dominates this weekend, does then that change David's mind on Monday when somebody that originally he wasn't thinking about is now available and David says, let's do it? I mean,
Well, the intriguing part of all that for me is the last comment he made, which is, you know, somebody makes a move and trades somebody, and now a person you haven't been contemplating pops up because he's now available, either because, you know, they traded for somebody that came in at his spot, or, you know, they left a hole in the other team and the other team is now looking to fill that spot. So those are the kinds of things that I think for me, I look at and I start wondering about. And I mean, I think they could be interesting, especially someone like David, that, you know, David's on the phone talking about him.
Taking a look at the playoff picture, the Predators are 3 points out of a playoff spot. They trail Calgary by those three, and they have 2 games in hand on Calgary. I mean, I do wonder, like, are they at a point to where if they get 7 points out, which a bad weekend could put you something like that? I mean, if they start losing some of the games in hand, if those things start happening, that we could really hit the panic button? Because I feel like the Predators have yo-yoed anywhere from 1 to 5 points out of the playoffs in the last 3 months, and they just keep going right back to the same spot every time.
Yeah. How many points does Chicago have? Aren't they in last place?
Yeah, Chicago's got 60 points, and that is last place in this division.
Yeah. I mean, so you're a little bit away from that. So you don't have to. I mean, I'm not sure anything matters much as far as a trade deadline on this weekend. I think it's, you know, all pretty well wrapped up. And there'll be, you know, there's always something added and something taken away. But I don't think any giant decisions are going to be made on how we play these two games.
Okay, tonight Ryan Ellis returns against Chicago. What are you looking for?
I am looking for Ellis to come in and play some, add some defense. I think he's, or just for us to play better defense. I think that's kind of the area that everybody's looking at and saying, hey, we got to pick it up in that area. And if we don't, then it's really going to be a struggle.
I want to see if Pecorine can make it 2 in a row. Can he go 2 in a row where he dominated Sunday night? Then the coach, who I think is clearly leaning towards Saros, you know, would this kind of shove it to that, the idea of, hey, I'm not the starter anymore, and I just dominated 2 in a row. And if he does that, then I think we have a legitimate question. So that's what I'm watching for. Pregame coming up at 6:30. The Smash Brothers is next.